It's interesting sugya that actually comes up from this this Gemara in Daf Kuf Hey in Pesachim. There's a halacha in every single day of saying Mea Brachos, that we have to say 100 brachos, and it's very easy to accomplish that on a regular weekday. You have 19 brachos in Shemoneh Esrei times 3, so you're more than halfway just from Shemoneh Esrei alone. And Shabbos presents a much bigger issue of getting Mea Brachos, so people will smell the hadassim or eat snacks throughout the day. The question becomes, so granted, a person might be snacking all day long, that you're going to fulfill the Me'er Brachos, but is there a keem of Oneg Shabbos? That's the question. Is one going to fulfill a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos if he takes snacks from time to time? Is a Shabbos party that kids get together, is that going to be a keem of Oneg Shabbos? So that comes from a very important Rashbam. He has a very important yesod here. The Gemara is talking about when they're having a Suda Erev Shabbos, a weekday meal, and then Shabbos comes, so then the Gemara tells us you don't have to do anything, you don't have to change the meal, because there's this concept that Shabbos is kovas lemaaser, kach Shabbos kovas lekiddush. That just like Shabbos has the ability to make a food, a snack into kvias with regard to maaser, which I'll explain in just a moment, so too it has the ability to transform a weekday meal immediately into a Shabbos stickah meal. So what does it mean that Shabbos is kovas lemaaser? So there's halacha when it comes to separating trumas and maasos. If you're a farmer, let's say, so there's a machlo. Everyone agrees that midiraisa digancha tiroshcha vitzarcha. Digancha are the 5 mini dagan, 5 grains. Tiroshcha is wine or grapes, and yitzarcha are olives and olive oil. Those three, everyone agree, are chayiv in midiraisa and trumas and maasos. Digancha, tiroshcha, vitzarcha. There's a machlok, it's Rashi Rambam, whether sharp peiros are also midiraisa or are they only midirabban chayiv. And everybody agrees vegetables, yerek, are chayv and shumas and maisos midirabanan. So the way it works is when the farmer brings everything in, he's gemar melachtan, he evens out the pile of grapes he has or the pile of wheat. Once he evens it out, it's now tevel, and you're not allowed to eat it until you separate shuma and maiser, maiser rishon, maiser sheni, maiser ani, whatever year it is. But there is a heter that a person eats an achilas arai. If you snack, how to ever define a snack, but whatever a snack is, you're allowed to have an achilas arai in a regular weekday. But the Gemara says in Beya, daf lamed dal mabez, if a person has an achilas arai of tevel on Shabbos, so then there's no such thing as snacking on Shabbos. Shabbos, achilas arai, a snack, by definition becomes a significant meal, even though I'm eating only corn chips. The Gemara says, since I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of karasa l'Shabbos oneg, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, so that snack turns into actually a Achilas Keva, and I would be fulfilling the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, and I can't eat it without Shumas Amaisos. So if it's Tevel, Achilas Arai becomes Achilas Kevel, which I can't eat on Shabbos anymore. That's the din. So there's a machlokas in the Rashbam and the Rambam. I'm not going to get involved in this, but that was the source I sent to you, about whether or not when Shabbos ends, so those food that I had that we're not ready yet, but Shabbos came, does it make now all that Shabbos and all the food now, even Matzah Shabbos, I can't eat anymore until I separate Shumas and Maasos? Or no, the moment Shabbos ends, I could go back to eating Achilas Arai again, all on those fruits without having to take Shumas and Maasos. So that's a machlokas, and there's two dinim. Fine, but let's focus on Oneg Shabbos. So again, to the Rashbam, when he says this halacha, that Shabbos makes an Achilas Arai into Achilas Keva, he says, this is 2 wide lines down in the Rashbam. The Shabbos he kava nafsha l'sudasa, the me'achar shi'oser t'aleinu le'echol, that's not what I wanted, I'm sorry, the next one down. K'shem shekavas l'maiser. Perish achilas arai, the Shabbos, and a snack on Shabbos, choshvi osa keva l'maiser. It turns it into a longer, a more significant meal, like the Gemara in Be'ah tells us. Mishum dehavi oneg, it's oneg Shabbos. Afilu sudas kolshu, even a small amount, even a tiny bite, a tiny sip, it becomes teva. So that's the din of the Rashbam, that any snack, any bite, any sip of drink would be considered chilas keva. And there's a number of nafkaminas, but before we go through the nafkaminas in the Rishonim, the Rambam might argue on this whole premise. There's a Rambam, when he talks about Oneg Shabbos and Perek Lamed of Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam says that there's an inyan to eat larger meals in Oneg Shabbos, but he doesn't speak about having multiple meals. He doesn't speak about having more than 3 meals. He just says, during your meals, you should have fatty meat, and you should have a lot of fancy wine, and eat more, but he doesn't speak about snacking. So there is room to say that the Rama might go against this Rashbam, that snacking would not necessarily be a kiyum in Onik Shabbos, and he has to read the whole sugya in the Bay in a different way. But that's just throwing out the Shitas Rambam. But let's look through the eyes of the Rashbam, which is the main Shum opinion that even Achilas Arai, even a Achila Kolshu, is considered a kiyum in Oneg Shabbos. So what are some nafkaminas? So the Rush was asked the following question, which relates to our sugya and Daf Kafei. We learn in Daf Kafei that you can't eat before Havdalah. Matzah Shabbos ends, there's an issur to eat until Havdalah. But you are allowed to drink water before Havdalah, the Gemara says. Maya lokapti, they're not makbid on drinking water. So the Rush was asked the question, are you allowed to drink water before Kiddush on Shabbos and or a Kiddush before on Yontif? We're going to hold off Yontif for a second, but just keep in mind the Rush's opinion about Yontif. We're ignoring Yontif for now, but keep that in mind for later. So you're allowed to drink water before Shabbos Kiddush. That was the question on Friday night. And the Rush answers, it's usur to drink water before Kiddush. Why? So, don't we have the Gemara in Tzachim Daf Kufay? You're allowed to drink water before Havdalah. So if you could drink water before Havdalah, shouldn't you be able to drink water before Kiddush? And this is actually halach lamaisa. In a regular weekday, for example, you're allowed to drink water before davening. Normally, we say you can't eat before davening. It's a halach and Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam says, lo sochla ahadam is the source. You can't eat before davening for yourself, for your blood. You can't eat before davening. The Rambam thinks it's a derais, it seems. Others think it's derabanan. But you could drink water. You could have coffee, tea. Shabbos morning, the moment you daven, you're not allowed to drink water. You have to say kiddush. You can't even have water once you finish davening. Before davening, you could have water and coffee. But the moment you finish davening, and now there's a chi, you can't eat before davening. You can't make kiddush before davening. Once you finish shacharis, now you have to say kiddush. You're not allowed to drink any water. So they ask, are you allowed to drink water before kiddush? He says, no. Why not? Because he says, the Shabbos kovas, Shabbos is koveya, all drinkings, all eatings. Ve'asir lehanos b'chol mine hanos she'achila v'shtia ad she'kadesh. He says, because on Shabbos, it makes the meal, the drinking, into a sudas keva. Your drinking of water becomes a sudas keva, and you can't eat a sudas keva without making kiddush before him. Now, according to this Rush, I would assume he would say, even before davening, you should not be able to drink either. Because if you view drinking water as a sudas keva, that shouldn't be permitted any time before kiddush. So that's how he learns. It's a very important nafkamina, very important halach lamaisa about understanding this idea of Shabbos is kovas any achilas arai. Okay, another area this comes up, this concept that even a achila kolshu becomes a sudas keva is with regards to ein kiddush el b'makom suda. So we learned this sugi also earlier. Yeah.
So with regards, so if it establishes that much of a keva, so in terms of the mea brachos then. So then, isn't it harder to separate your different snacks if it even waters establishing more of a keva?
Why?
I mean, if you have a chilas arayis, you're making a bracha on the potato chips and on this and that. But if you have a keva, so then the bracha itself on that food item should be stronger and carry larger weight, no?
No.
Like a mizonos versus a shakel.
No, I'm saying, but in terms of Hilchas Brachas, I would still say a shakel on the water, even though the water might be Sudas Keva, it's only water. I can only say a shakel on water. I can't say Mizonos on water. So it doesn't change Hilchas Brachas.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, let's say, right, the Mizonos is going to carry more weight than a shakel. So does this shakel carry more weight than a weekday shakel?
And how does that affect me?
Let's say you were to leave the room, mm-hmm. Right? So if the shakel is a...
Oh, so you're saying in terms of a hefsek and hesek hadas, will that's an interesting question. I didn't see it. What Kavila is suggesting is now my drinking of water going to have the dinim of eating mizonos now, even though I'm actually saying a shahakol, but maybe leaving the house will have that same din of mizonos and it won't be mafsek, won't be hesek hadas. Good question. I don't know.
The Rambam is machalik in drinking water before only the first kiddush, right? The first kiddush of Shabbos.
The Rambam says you can't drink water before the. I think the halacha is by both kiddushes, I believe.
And for sure by Havdalah he says water. Right?
Correct, but by so kiddush you're not allowed to drink water before. I think he says by both kiddushes, Friday night and Shabbos morning.
Right.
That's a halacha. I think the Rambam says that also though.
So it's not a kviyas because that's not a...
It's after Shabbos, right.
Point, so.
Exactly, Shabbos is over. And therefore, drinking, the reason why you can't drink water before Havdalah is simply because, rather, why you can drink water, the issur of eating before Havdalah is because you're about to do a mitzvah. Anytime you're about to do a mitzvah, you can't have any meals 30 minutes prior. Nothing to do with kovei or not. When you do bedikas chametz, we all know no meals before lighting candles. You can't eat 30 minutes beforehand. So Havdalah also, you can't eat before 30 minutes. But
drinking
water is fine. That's why it's permitted for Havdalah. But Kiddush is a whole other reason, because your drinking becomes a sudas keva, and you can't have a suda without Kiddush.
If you know you can't do Havdalah for more than a half hour, are you still allowed to eat?
If you know you can't do Havdalah, well, you're right, you can't eat. That's why... The only reason why we could eat Shal Shur is because we started a bit of Derech Hatter and you could continue to go.
Right, but let's say you can't hold off for an hour for whatever reason. Why can't you eat?
Because you already have, once a chiv is on you, that chiv alone is enough to prevent you from eating any further. Okay. Even though you can't lemaisa do it.
Why do we generally say if it's Shkia has hit, then you can't start eating? You can't say Avdala until it's Ezek HaChavim.
No, you actually can. You actually can say Havdalah, you just can't say Eish,
fire, right?
But everything else you could do, in theory you could do Mazon, you could do a Basamim and a Guff and all that.
I know it's like a little off track, but is it any different than Hanukkah? If you know you can't light until tonight,
you have to eat
from 4:30 until, let's say, you're at work.
Correct,
tonight.
Unless you make a reminder, an alarm, set an alarm on your phone, that would be allowed. Havdalah would be the same thing. If you can set an alarm, that would be the way around it, correct. So there, again, another halacha that we were discussing where the inyan of Achiyas Arayv Shabbos becomes Achiyas Kevas with regard to Ein Kiddush Elba Makum Suda. So that concept which we learned was Daf Kuv Beis, why do you have to have Kiddush Makum Suda? What's the idea behind it? Kuf Aleph, rather. The Rashbam explained because it's based on the pasuk of Akras LaShabbos Oneg. And he says, B'makum Shata Kori LaShabbos, a place where you call it Shabbos, namely Kiddush, there, Sham Te Oneg, that's where you should have Oneg. So we have to Oneg and Kiddush and Kriya Shabbos have to come together. So, but that's the Oneg is the idea of B'makum Suda. So what qualifies for a Suda? So it's very halach l'maisa when it comes to a bris on Shabbos morning. I was once, I said the brachas at a bris on Shabbos morning, and there's a shiloh, who should drink it? I'm not having a Suda here in the shul, so if I drink it, there's no Suda for me. So the Ramah says, one opinion is you could drink a revius of it, and that becomes a suda. And others say you give it to the baby. You don't have to drink this way I don't get any issues, and give it to the baby a little bit of wine, and give him anyways. Those are two dayas. So, but the Shulchan Aruch says it has to be a bread or mazonos meal in order to be a suda. But if you were to drink water or have fruit, the Shulchan Aruch says that doesn't work. It's not a suda, that's keva. That's not makum suda. That's why we always make mazonos at a kiddush or you wash. But you can't make fruit. That doesn't substitute for a suda. So the Magen Avraham quotes a Shilti Giburim, who says, no, even peros could work as Kiddush B'makom Suda. Why? Because the kol suda Shabbos nechsheves keva. So we see that even though it's just fruit, but since it's Shabbos, that fruit can become a din of sudas keva, and that can qualify. We don't paskin this way, but that's at least a shita that can qualify as a sudas keva to fulfill... To fulfill the Indian of Ein Kiddush, Ella B'makum Suda. Another place this comes up is Shal Shudas. So we know that all the meals of Friday night and Shabbos morning require two loaves of bread, and there's a shiloh whether or not Shal Shudas requires. We certainly, lichatchila, encourage one to have two loaves of bread, but the Shulchan Aruch brings down different deyas, two loaves of bread, if not that, chamesh shemini dagan, if not that, basar v'dagim, if not that, fruit, if not that, drasha, give a shir, it's brought down in Mishabur, you can bring give a Dvar Torah. But these are all the different levels. And perhaps the suggestion, the explanation is that Shal Shudas is a lower level type of meal. So two loaves of bread, lecha mishnah is not necessary, but perhaps fruit and fish and meat, all that can substitute to a certain extent, maybe because achilas arai, even a snack on Shabbos, can qualify as an achilas keva. So I didn't see anyone say this, but that would just seem intuitive to explain the different dinim in Shulchan Aruch about Shal Shudas. Another area, which I think somewhat connects to Gavriel's point, is a question of Pasa Baba Kissin. We know the din of Pasa Baba Kissin is Pasa Baba Kissin is the three types. There's crackers, things that are hard and crunchy. There's cakes, which are sweet dough. or batter. And then there's fruit-filled pies. Those are three types. So the halachas, you say mezonos on them in general, and you say al michi when you finish. But if a person, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you're koveh sud on a weekday, you have whatever the big meal of pie, a big meal of cake or crackers, so then you would say hamotzi and you'd bench. So the Birkei Yosef says, what if a person is having a possible kissin, not a meal, he's having a small shear, he's having some crackers, pretzels, he's having it on Shabbos, but as a snack. So he says, since Shabbos makes every arai into keva, so this possible b'kissin, even though during the weekday I would only have to say mezonos, when eating on Shabbos, he says, it would turn into a hamotzi and a birkas hamazon. I don't need the large shear of five kibbutzim, whatever it is. It's enough to have a small bite would be considered hamotzi and birka, a big chiddush. We don't pask in this way, but it's a tremendous chiddush of him. But again, I think he would probably say what you're saying also, in terms of hefsek brachas and hefsek hadas, I would imagine he may take it that far as well. Okay. So we have, again, a few different applications. And let's just do one final application of Sudas Arai turning to Sudas Keva, and that's with respect to Yantif. How does Halacha work with regards to Sudas Yantif? Would that also be an inin of Sudas Arai turning into Sudas Keva? So the Tzlach, the Noda Bihuda, raises this suffix. And he says that, he's not sure, he raises the question, and he says maybe one would say that there should be a difference between Shabbos and Yantif, because the Pasuk says, v'karasa l'Shabbos oneg, and not Yantif. That's the suggestion he makes. Now, he doesn't reject it, but a very simple rejection would be, we have many places where Yantif is referred to Shabbos, and Shabbos is referred to Yantif. So, sorry?
Shabbos.
That's one great example. Machos Shabbos after Pesach is when we start counting Sfiras Omer. Even though it's Yantif, we call it Shabbos. Rashi many times calls Shabbos Yantif, Yantif Shabbos throughout Shas. So, you could still say, Karsal Shabbos, it could be referring to Yantif. There's a famous Gra in the beginning of Parshas, in the middle of Parshas Emor, where the psukim say Elu Moadei Hashem, these are following Moadim, and then it says Sheishes Yom Tasim Lachta V'Yom Hashvi Shabbos Vayinufash. And so the Gra asks the question, "What do you mean? We say we're introducing Moadim, and then it tells us about Shabbos. That's off topic." So he says, "No, what's going on here is the 6 days of the week, and Shabbos is actually a microcosm of some sort of the entire year of all the Yom Tovim. How so?" Because we know that there's six Yom Tovim throughout the year that there's a heter ochel nefesh. It's somewhat of a chol. So you could cook on Rosh Hashanah and first day Sukkot, second day Sukkot, Shemiyat Seres, Pesach, and then you mentioned Shavuos as well. Maybe include Rosh Hashanah, maybe not. Again, 2 days Pesach, 2 days... Yeah, he does, exactly. 2 days Sukkot, 2 days Pesach, Rosh Hashanah, 1 day Rosh Hashanah, and then 1 day Shavuos. 6 days you could do cooking, and then Shabbos Shabboson is Yom Kippur, where you can't cook at all. So that's Shabbos, those 6 days of Emor is really introducing the upcoming Yom Tovim of the Parshas Emor. But we see that there's this interchangeable use of Shabbos and Yantif, Yantif and Shabbos. So that was his initial approach at V'krasa, L'Shabbos Onig, V'lo L'Yomtiv Onig, but not necessarily true. But he goes on to say, Yantif, we know the Yantif, the Noda Bihuda goes on to say, in his idea, in his mind, even though there's no mitzvah of oneg when it comes to Yantif, we know there is a mitzvah of simcha when it comes to Yantif. And that's different. Simcha is different than Yantif. And he says, simcha is ein bas. He says, simcha comes from basar. And basar, meat, is not subject to chumos and maisros. So the whole mechanism of the way Shabbos is koveya suda is through chumas and maisos. It can make my wine, it can make my bread, my mizonos into a keva, so to it could into for maiser could also do the same thing with Shabbos. But it doesn't make any sense because this goes against everything we saw before. I guess not necessarily true, but wine ain simcha l'babaser and v'yayin. The pasuk tells the Gemara tells us wine also. It's not only basar. He says, ain simcha alba basar. But the Gemara in Pesachim tells us, no, basar and yain is what brings simcha. And yain certainly is subject to chumas and maisos. So I'm not sure exactly what his raya is, but either way, we see that he's struggling with this question of whether or not there is oneg, mitzvah of oneg on yantif. The Meiri quotes from Ktas Geonim that says that there is oneg on yantif, I meant to look up in the Sefer. There's a Sefer called Oneg Yom Tov. I meant to look up in the Hakdama. I would imagine he talks about this concept. He must have named it that reason, that for reasons I didn't have a chance to. But there, the Miri clearly says that there is Oneg Yom Tov. The Rambam also writes in Hilchos Yom Tov, Kishem Shemitzvah Lechabed Shabbos Ulaunga. There's a mitzvah to honor Shabbos and to Oneg and to enjoy it. Kach Kol Yomim Tovim. So too, there's a mitzvah of that Kishem would mean. There's a mitzvah. He doesn't say this, but the equation seemingly would say there's a mitzvah of kibud and oneg on yantif as well. So they bring this as a raya. The Kvieger brings this as a raya that there is such a concept as oneg on yantif, which would seemingly tell us that there is a mitzvah each time you take a snack, even on yantif, you would be fulfilling a mitzvah. Now, just the way that there's a beautiful Kvieger in his first simon in all of Tshuvos, he talks about the concept of oneg and simcha and women and nashim. Mitzvah says she has mangrama and the chiv and pas or not chiv and pas. But the way he breaks down these two concepts of yantif, of simcha and oneg, they're both relevant on yantif, but they are played two different roles. He says that the simcha is with regards to the wine and the basar, and the oneg is with regards to the pas, the bread. That's how he breaks it down. So that's why in Shabbos there's only a mitzvah of pas, because of oneg and Shabbos, but there's no mitzvah to have basar yayin. It's a nice thing to add it on. But basar v'yayin is really midin simcha. And according to many, there is no simcha on Shabbos, so oneg is pas. But yantiv, which has oneg plus simcha, so you have the mitzvah of pas, plus you also have the mitzvah of simcha, which would include basar and yayin. As a side point, there's a Torah Tmima, the end of Parshas Bereishis. He lists a whole slew of sources that there is, in fact, simcha on Shabbos. He says, I don't know why everyone assumes there's no Simcha on Shabbos. He brings raya after raya after raya that there is Simcha on Shabbos. Seemingly, there are different levels of Simcha. Going on, again, side point, again, there's a steer in the Rambam about whether or not there's Simcha by Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And he has this idea, he quotes all the days that you're Chayv and Hallel. He quotes Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot. And there's Shar Yimei Simcha also. There's such a thing, Shar Yimei Simcha. So what Shari Mei Simcha is he referring to? So Rav Joltin, Mishas Yabetz, he says that he's referring to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Those are Shari Mei Simcha. He didn't list every other yantif except for those. What else is left out? So he must be referring to this idea of Simcha. But he says there's no Simcha Yisera. There's a Stam Simcha in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but not a Simcha Yisera. Seemingly, Shabbos would be categorized the same way, that there's a lower level simcha, not the higher level simcha of Yontif, but there's a lower level simcha on Shabbos. That would seem to answer this seemingly contradiction, whether it's simcha or not simcha on Shabbos. But back to our point, that the Kvieger and the Rambam all seem to say that there is oneg on Yontif. And each time you snack on Yontif, you're feeling a mitzvah of oneg Yontif. So there's a very important afkamina.
Is it kvasla meiser or no?
It would be, it's not discussed. Whatever the halacha you'd say of oneg, if there is oneg, it would be kovas the meiser, and it would also fulfill mitzvah of...
It's not discussed anymore.
Yeah, that's how the tzach says, his lashon is, shani mestapik bo, dham mavur kan bekam mekomos shashavis kovas the meiser, but lefish alo niskar b'shas b'shum makom yantif, rak Shabbos, it's an open question. So it doesn't discuss, it's not discussed anywhere at all about the yantif. If you assume that there is oneg on yantif, so then the dim would be that it would be kavas lemaiser as well.
You said before the oneg by yantif would be that's teaching us the mitzvah of having sudas with bread. That's not.
That's Ricky Vega's understanding. Yeah.
That's the oneg.
Yeah, it seems to go against the Rambam. When the Rambam talks about oneg on Shabbos, he includes the three meals, which would be the bread, but he goes on to add fatty meats and fancy wines and all the other stuff as well.
But also the Gemara, like Rabbi Elazar talking about the sudas of yantif, is not based on oneg.
Rabbi Elazar, you're talking about chati lachem, chati lachem?
Yeah.
So he's talking about it's in your lachem, right, and oneg. But no, not oneg. I'm saying whatever lachem is, you have to read through the whole tshuva here, how he proves that oneg comes mitzad pas. And since it's a rush that holds, you have to have pas and yantif as well. That's why, for example, we have three mitzad halacha. Why do we have three matzahs on Seder night? Forget Kohen Levi and Yisrael. But mitzad halacha, because you need one for the mitzvah of matzah and one for the shnei lechem, lechem mishnah. So that's a rush, he says this. So So I think he quotes his Rush here. So where's that chiv come from? That's not midin simcha. So he says, must be, comes from Onek. That's his chiddush. So where does this come up? Interesting nafkamina. So we know on Sukkos now. So Sukkos, there's a heter to eat achilas arai outside of Sukkah. So now, if we're saying that achilas arai on Yontif becomes achilas keva, you can never eat outside of Sukkah on Yontif. Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to. I don't know if there's oneg on Chol HaMoed. That'd be another question. Let's assume there's no oneg on Chol HaMoed, but there is oneg on Yontif. So then you couldn't eat outside the Sukkah even a little sip of water, which would be an interesting chiddush. But during Chol HaMoed, you would be able to. So all those Gemaras in Yuma and Sukkah that talk about Achias Arai is that permitted, that has to be referring to Chol HaMoed only. That I just saw just before, that the Birka Yosef, in that same piece that discussed about Pasa Baba Kisnin, that it turns into a Sudas Keva and you have to wash and bench on Shabbos, he says with regards to eating outside the Sukkah, it doesn't fall into that category. Even though the Birka Yosef was the strongest shita, that Pasa Baba Kisnin becomes mamish bread on Shabbos, it's Sudas Keva, he wouldn't go so far to say on Sukkot it's the same din. Why not? Because Sukkot has a different set of rules. It depends on Teshu Kein Tadiru. That's the that's what drives the halachas. And since people normally do snack outside of a home, you're allowed to snack outside of a sukkah as well, even a yantif. And even though there might be an inyan of oneg on yantif, he wouldn't think that would define it in terms of sukkah. What you see from this Birka Yosef, he clearly assumes that oneg does exist on sukkahs. He just doesn't think it turns into a keva. And just going back to the Rush we said earlier, when the Rush was asked the question, could you drink before water, before Kiddush, the question was posed to him, could you drink water before Kiddush Shabbos or Kiddush Yontif, which clearly also indicates from his answer, he doesn't mechalik between the two, the Rush also would seemingly say that there would be equally as much oneg on Yontif as there is on Shabbos. Okay, so we'll stop here. And the question is,